From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome to the program. I'm glad that you're taking time to join with us as we let the Bible speak. If you've been a regular listener over the past weeks and months, and you haven't as yet taken time to write to us, well, may I encourage you to write this week. We're always glad to hear from our listeners, and I hope that you'll put pen to paper and drop us a line. Maybe you're listening for the very first time. If that's so, we warmly welcome you and trust that you'll join our regular band of listeners. A certain famous sculptor left an inscription to be placed on his tombstone when he died, and it read like this: "What I was as an artist seemed of some importance to me while I lived, but what I was as a believer in Jesus Christ is the only thing of importance to me now." What is the most important thing to you now? Is it this life or the life to come? Is it the earthly things or the eternal and heavenly things? May it be that you will see that those things which are unseen but eternal are the most important things, as you now listen to the Reverend Ivan Foster as he lets the Bible speak.
Good morning, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us. We trust that the Lord will meet with you as you gather with us around the Word of God. I want to read from the Scriptures. We're reading from Mark's Gospel. Remember, we're continuing our study there. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 3, and we're beginning at the verse 20, picking up where we left off our Bible study last week. Verse 20 then, Mark chapter 3, do make sure you have your Bible to hand at this time and join with us in our reading. "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit." Amen. May God bless this reading from His Word. Now, we're going to have Jean Elliott, and she's singing for us, "Down at the Feet of Jesus."
Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. Let me tell the old, old story of His grace so full and free. Down at the feet of
Our subject this morning is the unpardonable sin. The portion that we read together presents us with the reactions of some of the friends of the Lord Jesus and also the enemies or the foes of the Lord Jesus to his zealous spreading of the gospel. Now, I'm going to set aside the consideration of the reaction of his friends, but I want to just consider with you what is recorded here in the verses 20 through to the end of verse 30 of the attitude of the enemies of Christ to his preaching of the gospel. Now, quickly notice how we are told in the verse 20, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread." The interest there was in the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time was very, very great indeed. And it would appear that he was constantly under pressure from crowds of people anxious to hear the word of God from his lips. What a wonderful thing it is to see people generally anxious to hear God's word. We don't live in a day such as that. There is not that anxiety abroad today. And we certainly would look for an answer to prayer that God might revive his work again and cause multitudes, for he can cause multitudes of people who have ordinarily no interest whatsoever in the gospel. He can cause them suddenly to begin to inquire, "What must I do to be saved?" In such a time of blessing and revival stirrings, how busy the man of God will be. It is said here concerning the little band of disciples led by the Savior that they could not so much as eat bread. They hadn't time for a proper meal. They were so pressed upon by the crowd to hear the word of God. Mind you, there's many a person who would purport to be the servant of God, and they're under no such pressure now. They're not so busy now. I don't know what it would take to get some of them beaten back from the table. But here, in this day of blessing and revival, God's servants didn't even have a chance to sit down for a meal. So desirous and anxious were the people to hear the word of God. Now, in such a day of zealous activity by God's servants, many don't fully understand why it is they're acting so. For we read in verse 21, "And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." The friends of the Lord Jesus. And we discover who exactly they are next week when we look at the rest of the chapter. But these friends did not understand the zeal within the Savior's heart and the zeal with which he labored in the gospel. And they said, "He is beside himself." Now, you know what that phrase means. They thought, "He's a little off his head. Why, he's skipping meals. He's running from morning to night, preaching. He's beside himself." Oh, I tell you this, men and women, it was not the Savior who was mad, but rather he was displaying for all to see the attitude toward the eternal things of the soul that man ought to have. There are people who rise in the morning and labor all day and go to bed at night and they never give one single thought to their souls or to God or to eternity or to heaven or to hell. Now, that's not wise action. That is someone who is off their head. That indeed is a madness from which, if you are afflicted that way, may God cure you. Oh, that you would seek first the kingdom of God and give priority to considering the needs of your soul. But in this day of activity and zealous labors by the Savior, there were enemies who criticized him as well, and we read about them. They said in verse 22. These are the scribes referred to here. He hath Beelzebub, one of the names of the devil, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. They attributed to the Lord Jesus the power of the devil. That's what they said was at work in the Savior's life. He was an agent of the devil. Now the Savior, in response to this most wicked accusation, warns them, "He that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Verse 29. Now, men and women, let me tell you this. There is a great danger in mocking the gospel. There are many who blame the evils of the whole world upon the gospel and say, if we hadn't religion, the world would be better. That's a dangerous and a foolish statement, a wicked accusation. The Savior's answer was most simple indeed. He said, if I cast out demons by the power of the devil, then Satan is destroying his own kingdom. Rather, he says, it's not by the power of the devil, but by the power of God that I do this. And I want you to notice the tenderness and the love of the Lord Jesus. For he warns these blaspheming enemies, be careful of what you do. You're in danger of bringing damnation upon your soul. The Savior could have let them go on, ignored them, and let them reap the consequences of their sin. But oh, the love of Christ is such that he would warn men. Heed the warning of the gospel today. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness. And I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.